People are so scared of failing. That's why they don't try new things. They don't want to try the transition from a new career because they're too scared. They're like, what if I fail? Well, the truth is everybody fails all the time. You just don't hear about it.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is the momentous number 80, conversation number 80. I'm so excited that you're here. 80 is starting to sound like a lot of conversations, and I really appreciate you all listening. If this is the first time that you've been here, that you've been to the podcast, I appreciate the time you're giving me today. And I promise from the bottom of my heart that I pour my heart and my soul into these podcasts to help not just motivate you, because if I have to motivate you, then you're going to stop as soon as that motivation is gone, but to inspire you to like something deep within your soul, interview these people, show you real life breathing examples of people that have defied the odds, done what was best for them and what was best for their family. And my guest today, you may have seen her on Naked and Afraid. She is the one and only Amber Hargrove, and I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with her today. It was really fun. She's super genuine, super energetic, and I told her, like, I went from having, like, a meh day to having a great day. You go out there and you specifically interject yourself into situations and talk to people that are energetic, that are genuine, that care for themselves and for you. They want to see you do better. They want to see you accomplish your goals and your dreams. That right there can turn your life around. And we talked about that and so many other things. And I cannot wait to get in this conversation with you all. Remember, you can find this conversation, all the contemplations as well, on christophlewis.com/podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited. This is yet another conversation that I just could not wait to have, and yet another conversation where I was watching somebody on TV and I was like, that person is awesome. I want them on the podcast. I really want to talk to them, and I want to dive deeper into their life story. And I always say, because I see like so many things about people talking negatively about social media, and here's another example of me seeing somebody that's awesome. I want to share their story even more. And then here we are having this conversation. So thank you. I think it's so cool.
Of course. I'm so glad you reached out to me. I was really excited about it and see what you do with people's careers and talk about them. It's very motivating.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I was telling you like a super micro synopsis of why I started the podcast beforehand. And it was just like so many people in my life before the Navy, during the Navy. I was in the Navy for 9 years. And a lot of people just didn't really enjoy what they were doing, or they went about their lives complaining. And I was like, hold on a second here. You know, like, we can do what we want in life. And people would argue that and say, like, well, I'm in a contract in the military, or I can't quit my job because I have family. And I'm like, first of all, your contract ends. Second of all, I'm sure your family will support you in one way or another if you're really, truly not happy. So here you are, here we are, and you are just doing some really cool stuff. You're a veteran yourself of the Army, so I would like to do just a quick synopsis of who you are and how have you gotten to what you're doing now.
Okay, well, Amber Hargrove here. I am a 12-year veteran, and I have 2 combat tours. I loved my job being chemical. Got so many experiences in the military that it really, when I decided to get out to be a mother, I had 2 kids and I was like, I really just want to be a mom, spend more time with them. It was really hard being taken from my deployments.
Tell me about it.
My daughter was 6 months old, and I just my first child that I had to give my daughter to my mom to raise. It was really hard on me. And I realized I missed so many hard years of like the best moments of a kid's life.
Sure.
And I said, how can I get out of the military, find a job, find a career that I love? And so I said, you know what? I have a GI Bill. Why don't I get out and start using that?
Yeah, there you go.
Most of the time, yeah, people don't even realize that they have the financial assistance out there as veterans. There's so many amazing programs out there. Tuition mm-hmm. assistance is out there. I mean, there's even companies that, you know, want to sponsor veterans to help them, and then nobody really takes advantage of mm-hmm. it. And that's mm-hmm. sad. So
yeah, I agree.
I was brave enough to get out of the military as a staff sergeant, and I started going to school to be a medical laboratory technician.
Okay.
I would not have ever thought I would go into this field, which is super intimidating. To be
yeah,
honest. I was
the
really
title sounds intimidating.
It really is, and I love it. I went to school for 2 years. I got my associates as a medical laboratory technician, and during school, on my days off, I was like, man, I watch all these survival shows.
Yeah.
I want to go out there and test my skills to see if I can actually, if I have what it takes to be a survivalist. And I used to watch these YouTube videos. I read a lot of books. I met with some really famous outdoor survivalists out
Too
there
cool.
in the North Springs area. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
I just kept trying because, you know.
Oh, there you go.
The scariest thing about being an adult is making new friends, first of all. It's very weird for adults to make friends. I got to throw that out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also the chance of failing. Because people are so scared of failing. That's why they don't try new things.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to try the transition from a new career because they're too scared. They're like, what if I fail? Well, the truth is everybody fails all the time. You just don't hear about it. You only see when people succeed.
Especially now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's like the best part. You think when I go on film and make fires, it happens every single time with that fail rod.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I'm really good at what I do being a survivalist.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on Discovery Channel 3 seasons for Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
I killed the 40-day challenge in Ecuador. It led the
Hell
way
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was challenging and exciting because
yeah.
I knew with the first challenge I may fail, but at least I tried. I didn't know how to weave a blanket. I mean, who weaves pom-pons? I ain't no Martha Stewart out there.
That's so funny. The Martha Stewart of Naked and Afraid. That's niche. That's super unique. I like that.
Yes, I'll try everything once is my thing, and that's the example I set for my kids. I'm like, you know what?
That's
I'm
awesome.
Just try it.
That's
even
so cool.
Even if I fail. Try it again. And I'm really instilling that in my kids' minds. And it's good because we need that in America today. But there's so much going
You're so
on
right.
right now. Yeah, it's just, it's insane. But right now I work for American Survival Guide. I just joined their team. It's an outdoor, how to survive a disaster, the world ending type apocalypse. It's kind of cool. Just basic survival skills I got to bring to the table, and they put me on the cover. They did an interview. I flew out to Costa Rica, Santa Teresa.
Wow.
Do an outdoor survival 3-day with nothing, and I packed in. It was beautiful. I got to experience a little bit of everything. I had a really famous photographer named Spiro. He volunteered his time just to come out and film me. I was
oh,
very grateful
wow.
for that.
Very cool.
And you know, Brandy Wilk, she's a phenomenal up and coming producer that I work with, and I'm related to her too as a bonus. And yeah, so we brought all this together for American Survival Guide, and I'm the first female on the cover.
So cool. So, that's awesome. Congrats. Yeah, that's badass.
Yeah. Well, and plus I roast alligators. That's what they were really attracted to, I think. So.
Yeah, what is up with that? Like, how does one get into alligator wrestling? Like, seriously, how does that happen?
You're in Colorado. We got Mosca, Colorado. We've got an alligator farm out there.
I lived in Colorado for like 2 decades, and I did 0 alligator wrestling. I'm just letting you know. Like,
it is crazy. When you go there, they have this big gator pit, and
oh
you pay
my
for the
gosh.
And the guy said, first thing he said to me was, well, take your shoes off. And I'm like, excuse me? You don't want things touching your feet. You're
yeah.
out in the water.
Yeah.
Like 100
yeah.
alligators are like from 12 to 16 feet. He's like, now take a walking stick and go pick out your gator. I'm like, whoa.
Sounds simple enough. Yeah,
oh,
but you
yeah.
did it. Yeah.
So exciting. Grabbed that sucker. I called her Bertha by her tail, ripped her out.
Bertha.
She was 12 feet, jumped on her back. And then that moment of pulling her jaw up and bracing her down, the control of her was phenomenal. So I became obsessed with it after that.
That's crazy. I mean, you said so many amazing things there. I want to kind of go back and take this away piece by piece, pick it away piece by piece. But one of the things you said in the very beginning is you got out of the military to be a mom, or to be, you were a mom already, but you were not really with your child. And I know how hard that can be. That's, we had our child, we have a 5-month-old now. I'm out of the military after she was here, you know, after she was born. But even before I got out, like, unequivocally, that was one of the reasons I got out, is because I knew I wanted to be with her. And it was so difficult because I enjoyed my job in the military. And it sounds like you enjoyed a lot of it as well, except being away. And I know for a fact it's different. Like, there's mothers and there's fathers, but there's such an attachment. Like, now that I know, I've experienced it with my wife, and there's a huge attachment there as a mother and a child. Like, it's very, very unique. So I completely understand why you got out. I like asking people why they got out of the service, especially me being prior. And that's a great reason. I fully understand that. And you did so many things. I wrote a couple things down because I was like, this is so great. And one of the other things you said about your kids is like, set an example for your kids. And we've talked about emotional intelligence on this podcast so many times, and we always bring it back to like, well, how do we get like better human beings, like better adults, you know? Well, we start with our kids. We set examples for our kids. And to me, that's kind of synonymous with being a good leader. Like, how can you be a good leader? Well, let's start with one with yourself, which you're doing. You said you kept on learning and doing all these things and trying to become a better you. And then now you're setting an example for your kids and doing that as well. And then like with the alligator wrestling, it's like, to me, it's like, that's like literally going out there and doing something that scares you. And like that failure is like, you might die because you're talking about failure, you know? And like, I'm like, that's crazy.
My daughter was watching me do this.
See, that literally wraps up. Yeah.
She's like, I love you, Mom, but you're crazy.
That's so nuts. That's so nuts. Like that, like wraps everything you set up, like setting the example, doing it for, you know, yourself and also for your child there, going out there, doing something that scares you. The fear of failure is massive in that instance. So like, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Joe, if he's listening, what's up, but he like does crazy shit all the time on purpose to like train himself so that when he gets into situations to when it is difficult. Yeah. And you like, I mean, you know, like when you get into those situations, like, you know how you're going to act under pressure, under stress, under like a crazy experience. And like when you're doing alligator wrangling, like that's all those things. When you're, you know, when you're in Iraq and you're in fear of an aerial assault or mortars, you know, or an attack, somebody's overrunning the base or any of these things, like they're very real. Or Naked and Afraid, when you're doing that and you're on freaking national television, like you said about starting fires, like you're not starting a fire every time, and everybody can see you. So these are very scary things, but I think one of the most important things is putting yourself in that position, or inadvertently, a lot of us experience really crappy things and that's just life. But those things, I never they're bad in the moment, but after I get past them, I'm always like, I'm almost in a weird way, kind of thankful that they happened, because I'm like, I look back and I grew so much because of that. And now like we're saying, like, you know how you're going to act when the next time you come, and the next time, and the next time, and you're a little bit stronger, you know, you're a little bit stronger. You're like a bone, you break, you come back stronger. I don't know if that's true, but I subscribe to that.
You just hit like the nail on the head. It's so true. Yeah. I mean, like, fear drives people to either good spots or bad spots. Like that fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
For me, I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I don't flight. Like my adrenaline pumps, but it's a weird, where certain situations, even in Iraq, it's a weird calm for me. Like I can control it. Like,
no, I totally get it.
Yeah, and that's how I handle it. But the reason what really inspired me to get into the alligator wrestling was because Discovery called me. They said, we want you to go to the Everglades. And I'm like, well, shoot. I mean, I can skin a snake and cut them like nothing. But I know there's alligators in the Everglades.
Yeah.
I'm kind of scared. I don't know anything about them. So I literally took my fear and went out there and trained with them for 3 weeks.
Sure.
And I knew exactly how to get in the water with them.
That's,
I was
awesome.
Confident. But I wanted to create that so I can control that environment.
Yeah.
And that's just my military inside of me instilling that, I for sure. So.
Wow. And that's crazy. And it's been a while since I saw that episode, but I'm pretty sure you wrangled at least one alligator on that, right?
Yeah. I pulled one, scared the crap out of the producer. He tripped back with the camera.
That's
back
awesome.
On the ground as I'm pulling her out by her tail. And I'm like, come on.
They probably like did not expect that to happen. Like, they probably expect some crazy shit to happen, but like, this person is actually getting a freaking alligator. Like, I don't know. That's cool. That's badass.
It was so
that's
much.
Next
it was,
level.
It was really great.
Yeah.
I mean, but the I mean, the biggest thing out there that I dealt with that was hard for mind control was the mosquitoes, the bugs. They would not stop biting me, no matter what type of little concoction I came up with.
Yeah.
You know, they say you can use natural mud on you or citrus leaves. Well, let me tell you a little secret.
That shit.
In the Everglades, there is muck, not mud.
Yeah.
So, put the muck on you, you attract the horseflies and the gnats. So
that
it's like
horrific.
So,
that literally sounds terrible. You just completely turned me off from ever wanting to go down there. No, like that's.
But the fishing was good. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm a big fisherman, and that was a lot of fish down there. We ate a lot down there.
Yeah, that's crazy, especially with alligators. That's insane. But and then you do like the med lab technician stuff as well. You know, kind of going to that. Like to me, you just, and this is like kind of like. You're guest number 80, so this is very cool. I always like every 10 episodes, it's so momentous for me, so I really appreciate it again. But for me, like a common theme is like people aren't just going out there that I talk to and just like doing one thing and being satisfied. Now, let me clarify for anybody listening, like they're satisfied with what they've done and what they've accomplished, but they're like, like me, like I'm yearning for more. Like I want to like go out there and continue to do things. So you've had a great career. You said 12 years, two tours in Iraq, and the television, the magazine cover, all these trips, you were telling me about earlier, all of these things. And then you're like, you're doing the med lab technician and you're just wired to where you're not going to stop. Like you're going to go back in the alligator pit. You're going to keep on going in there. You're going to try to get a bigger alligator and a bigger alligator. And to me, that's just so cool. And you know, not everybody's wired like that. That's not for everybody, but typically people that listen to this podcast, that's for them. Like that's for me. Like that's how I'm wired. Like I'm constantly like, I was just telling my wife, like, I think I would go crazy. Like if I didn't have a podcast and if I didn't have all these things that I'm trying to do on the side, cause I work a day job too. I would go crazy. Like there's no way I could like work a 9-to-5, come home, do nothing, and then go back to that 9-to-5. Like if I'm not trying to like better my life, read more books, learn more, talk to more people like yourself and like see what you're doing, you know, because the podcast is for me too. Like I want to talk to you. I want to get to know like, well, why did you do these things? Why did you leave the military? Like that's not an easy decision for a lot of people, especially at 12 years, because for people that aren't in the military, there's this notion in the military that if you hit 10 years, you're like, well, I might as well stay 20, you know, at this point. So
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you,
yeah,
that's so true though. Yeah.
I have to have this. So
yeah. But isn't that like such a good point? Like do things that make you happy. Like I'm sure there was a lot of people, or that's a good question. Were there a lot of people that were like, you should stay in because it's a security blanket for your family? I mean, how did you, that kind of goes with like, kind of like asking about the biggest obstacles that you've faced in your life. And you probably have a million, but in regard to just this instance of getting out at 12 years, having a family to support, what were people telling you then?
Everybody was telling me I was making the wrong decision. And I was like, I felt inside of my gut, my heart. I was like, you know what? Here's the thing. You're not a single mom. I am raising two kids by myself. I'm a staff sergeant in the Army. I'm damn good at my job. I'm at the top line. I'm not going to hit my 7, my sergeant first class, for another 4 years, which I've accepted that. Yeah. Or I could sit in for another 8 years and retire. My daughter will be ready to graduate. My son would be 12. So at that time, I said to myself, you know, I'm going to take a risk here. I know I can go to college. I will get my degree. I have tons of civilian education training that I've done in the chemical world. And I'm a hard worker. Even if I had to get a job working at Home Depot, I'd be okay because I would continue to push my limits.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's badass. No, I really like that.
And that's how to run the damn company next.
That's what I'm saying. And that's like that. That's like the epitome of a can-do attitude. Like put me wherever I wind up, I'll be okay because I know like I'll get knocked back or I'll get knocked into something else. Like I'm going to do okay. Like, one of the things for people that like Grant Cardone, I like Grant Cardone for a lot of reasons. He was on here, but one of the things he had said was like, I could lose all my money tomorrow, all of it, and he's got a lot of it, and he'll be fine because he knows how to make money, you know. And he says it in his Grant Cardone way, which is, you know, I love that he is himself. But like for other people, like essentially what he's saying, what I'm saying with Amber here is like, it doesn't matter, like. Home Depot, or, and obviously no disrespect to anybody that like works at anywhere. These are all just different places and we're just using them as examples. Like you can go anywhere. And if you apply this can do attitude and you want to be better for yourself, then you'll be better. And then you'll figure out how to do it. Like just work your way up and do it like that. So I absolutely love that you're putting that out there and you're doing all these things. I mean, that's so cool.
I really am excited. I think there's just so much. I mean, like, how I keep touching on, like, you know, people are so scared of change. They really are. Like, yeah. A lot of people are like, I'm in this routine. I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, they could be in a miserable relationship, but they're like, well, I just don't know. I'm too scared to leave, but I'm so unhappy. And they'll sit there for the next 20 years
so
and
look sad. Back and say,
why didn't I make a change? And then they're like, they were too scared. But the truth is, that's okay if people choose to stay in that situation. For me, I look more at my career. If I do lose all my money tomorrow, I know I can go out there and figure out a way to make money no matter what I do. I will always try my best.
Yep.
Working for American Survival Guide right now, I'm able to travel around, talk about how just to be a basic survivalist. I mean, some basic skills just to survive in the wild.
Yeah.
How to boil water, start a fire, how to cook fish, because I can cook a fish. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm pretty good at it. I'm just going to say that right now. No pressure. But I can catch it anywhere. I just had my first time fishing out there in the ocean down south of Florida. Oh, my gosh. I was killing it. I was with a pro marine fishing team, and these guys were like, oh, you know how to fish? Because you're, you know, because I'm a woman. That's fine. Whatever.
That's crazy. So to me, that's crazy, though. That's still a thing, though.
I crushed it. They were so mad. I got 22 fish in 37 minutes, and they didn't catch. They were feeding the fish is what was going on. And they were just like, where did you come from? And I'm like, you know, I'm ex-Army military. I just know how to fish. I got it. So that's just something that I've never done before, fishing in the ocean. I usually fish in lakes, creeks, you name it, Amazon.
But yeah, right.
I'm very lucky to have a blessed life that I do. But then again, I mean, if I listened to my family and my friends, I would have never chased my dreams. I would have never been a survivalist. I would have never been on Discovery. I would have stayed in for another 8 years and who knows where I would have been. Maybe it would have been great. Maybe not. But I feel great where I am right now.
That's so cool.
Really good.
Yeah, that's so many good points again. Like, I've talked about it because I've experienced it in my own life. Family and friends love you to death. They truly do. And they're just not always the best people to give you advice. You know, and it's hard because you know, you don't want to offend them. And you don't want to say, like, listen, like, I'm going to do this regardless of what you say. Like, I know this is my best place to be. And even you getting out of the military, people, like for me, 9 years, and I always think about it. And I'm like, is it really? And it is. It was 100% of the people professionally were like, don't do it. Like, for me, I was a college dropout. I wasn't doing anything like that. And I was like, I know I can make it. I just know I can make it. I have a vision and I've been following through and I've been successful in that. And I'm going to continue to do that. And I'm going to continue to blow all those naysayers away. And that's what you did as well. You still got out. You're like, listen, like, I'm getting out for my family. Like, your reasons were really definitive. So freaking follow through on them, you know, like, go through and follow through what's best for you. And then you get out and then you listed out those other things that you want to do. Be a survivalist, do this, do that. Like, so many things. Like, you want to do those. And, you know, and we love our friends and we love our family, but I said you, Y-O-U, you want to do these, not your friends, not your family, you know? Like, so go out there and do them. And as long as you're not causing harm to your friends and family, and obviously they care for you. And I'll go even farther by saying, I think, I can be really drastic sometimes, but I honestly think that because they, even friends and family, were too scared to do it themselves. They were, and going back to the military, too scared to get out of the military, you know, because they have friends and family, or they have family to support. And you know what? That's fine. You got to find, like, your risk factor. And for you getting out and making it that way, that was, you were going to do it no matter what. And you did. And you were going to do all these other things. And you did. And you also mentioned stereotypes are so real, whether for women, whether they're for, I don't give a shit what they're for. If you're if you're a smaller person, I have a friend, Jonte, he's the smallest professional basketball player, smallest and shortest professional basketball player in the world, and he became a Harlem Globetrotter. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's awesome, and he's so positive. And he went out there, and everybody told him, "You're not going to be a basketball player. You're too short." And he does it. You know? So I don't. It's to me, it's so stupid. It's like, just do it. But it's hard because you brought up failure a couple times, and that's so scary. I mean, to see that and to, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, how did you deal with it? Like, how can we articulate to people that are too scared to do things, whether it's getting out of the military or just doing something they want to do, but maybe an accumulation of people telling them, don't do it, it's stupid. And then they start to think of themselves, like, do you have any good advice for people like that?
Yeah. It's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
So what what I did was I bought a whiteboard. I went to the store and got this big whiteboard. I wrote down my goals. And I just wrote down to visualize every day what I want to do with my life. Being a mother was there. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be a mom, and if, even if I work part-time, I have to have a career. I've got to go to college. And I hadn't before. I only had the military under my belt.
Yeah.
And so that was scary, too. And that was a tough one. Chemistry and all that. I was like, but I did it. I'm actually good at it now. But the point is, I got myself a whiteboard, and I started making, I believed in myself. And no matter what people said to me, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's stupid. You shouldn't go out there and do videos and start being a survivalist. Don't do that. Don't go on Naked and Afraid, Amber. You're not going to survive. You know, I was called pretty girl privileged is what I was
called.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, pretty girl privilege. And I was like, you know what? I'm blessed to be okay looking. My mother, thank you. Thank you, Mom, if you're watching.
Yeah, right.
I love you. Thank you for the great genetics. I love you. I was like, this has nothing to do with me going in the wild, stripping myself of just pure nothing and survival believing in myself that I can do it. And literally, the goals on the whiteboard, I had that whiteboard for about 6 years. And I even put it in my office. And I look back at it and I think of, what if I didn't do it? I wouldn't be happy at where I am now.
For
and all
sure.
the accomplishments I've done. Fear is what drives us. And you just have to don't let people get in your head.
Embrace it.
They will plant these little seeds slowly. Even your best friends. It's like people will ride with you, but they don't ride for you. And it's the truth. So you really have to believe in yourself and take a chance. I mean, it's scary. Everything's scary that we do. But guess what? The reward is so much more powerful in the end. It really is.
I love that. I love that so much. It's... The reward is worth it, and honestly, the journey is just so damn fun, too. And I have the same thing here. I have these two massive whiteboards behind you, and I have the closest thing I can see every single day are my goals. And I've been able to check some of them off, and it's really cool for me, and I'm still really far away from some of them as well, and that's perfect. Like, I just think that's great, and I like that you did that, because for me, I'm very visual. And two things. I'm visual, and I like seeing it, and it's that reminder every day. And then I also like checking things off. Like, it feels good to like, I got a couple of these, and it's just great. And I keep them up there. Like, they're done, they're checked off, and they're still there. Like, hey, you crushed this that you didn't think you could do, maybe because you set a high goal, and you've done it. And here it is, it's checked off. And it's like such a simple thing. It's a whiteboard. You wrote on a whiteboard, you checked it off, and it's sitting there, and it's just a constant reminder of, hey, these are, you know, dreams that you want to do that are not dreams anymore. Now they're goals, man. You better go out there and get them. And then these are other goals that you had and you crushed, like giving you the encouragement that you can actually continue to go do it. But all that shit doesn't start unless you actually set those and then take that step forward.
That's right. And it's scary. People are scared. And what's crazy is some people have a circle of friends that they say, oh, they're my great friend, but they're so negative. And, you know, we got to be very careful who we choose, like in our inner circle, because that's your support system. I mean, I realized I had so many negative friends in my life that, like I said, they ride with me, but they didn't ride for me.
Yeah.
And I never noticed that until I was like their negative energy. And I'm like, I want to grow as a person. I want to do as much as I can. So when I'm 60 years old and I look back and I'm like,
Hell yeah.
And I tried it and I'm not like, dang it. Why didn't I go to Greece and travel around? You know, I want to be able to go and do that. So
yeah. Greece is actually for us too. We want to go to Greece so bad. We've been to Europe, but not Greece yet. And for me, it's been, and I think probably for most people, because it's like one of those classic cases of, if I feel this way, there's probably other people that feel this way as well. And I think when you have very close friends to you that, you know, are those ride or dies that kind of go with you but don't actually help drive you, it's kind of hard for you to rationalize. Some would say, or some people I've interviewed say, just get rid of them completely. Some say distance them. And I think it's different for everybody, but it is hard to at least put some distance between you and them. But I think at least identifying that they're not meeting the criteria for you to achieve all that you can indeed achieve and go out and do what you want to do. And I think that's been, it's been really difficult for me. I have had people like that in my life, and it's been hard. But ultimately, I think one of the things, like a reoccurring theme just in this conversation with you, is going back and being like, listen, like, what's best for you? What's best for your family? Is any of these negative stuff in your life contributing to what's going to be best for you? What's going to be best for your family? And that's the thing I have a conversation with myself, frankly, almost daily. And I have other friends that, you know, they're mill vets as well. And that's just, so I know people that listen to this aren't only in the military, but I was in the military, so I relate to these people. So have other people in your life that maybe have done things that you've done and talk to them as well. Because I'm talking to these two other guys, we can relate. And, you know, we've all done very similar things. And we go out there and we're like, listen, man, I feel like that too. This is what I'm doing about it. And I think just talking about it with somebody helps so much. So I would highly encourage that.
Oh, big time. And when you find those friends that actually really support you, you go, whoa, what?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to take this. Like,
yeah, it's my cousin, so cool. Rainey,
she is like the most positive person. She has such good visions of like, this is what you should do in your life, or consider it, maybe put on your goal list. And I'm like, this is nice. Like, how many times can you have a friend or family call you like, hey, brother, what's going on? You know, what's your goals next week? What are your plans? Like, maybe we should set up something up. And I'm like, I love Brandy because she's so positive and she always is there to lift me up. And that's one thing I'm very proud of. So thank you, Brandy, if you're listening.
Yeah, Brandy, you rock.
Like so many times. Yeah. And you got to have that one person that's there for you to lift you. It's hard to find them, but.
Yeah. And I always want that one person. Like I want that true person that's going to remind me about those things. But I also really want somebody that's going to tell me like what it is. Like sometimes I may dislike that person because they're like, listen, Chris, like, I'm going to tell you, I always say, like, I want people in my life, the close people in my life, to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear, you know, like, because I don't always know what's best for me, even though, like, we said that was a theme during this podcast, is like, you know what's best for you, but sometimes maybe I need that outside perspective. Like, it's not black and white. It's not like I'm always correct about what I want to do, even with my own life. So at least if somebody says something, at least it helps identify why I'm feeling that way, why I'm thinking that way, and maybe it solidifies how I feel, or maybe it adds a new perspective. But I think if you approach it with that kind of growth mindset of like, I could be wrong, then at least, you know, having that sounding board, I think, will propel you even farther to what you want to get to.
Well, it's true. And most of the time, as adults, we hate taking criticisms.
We do.
One thing about me is I've learned to enjoy it. Like I'll make a video and I'll send it out and I'm like, you know what? Give me the worst. Just tell me what you liked about it, what you didn't, what do you think? Because I like getting other people's opinions and stuff. And for a while there, a couple of years ago, I got really down on myself, you know, and I moved to a different location. I moved away from Colorado. I moved to Montana. I was scared. And it was like almost a moment of forgetting my self-worth and who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And then that moment when you almost forget and then you realize who you are and why you're doing this, it changes everything. It's like the light right there. So
that's
how I am as a person, how I work. I'm like, no, but I have Brandy for that too to help me out.
Yeah, Brandy is awesome. I have good friends like that too. And I think it's so special having those people. And I would just, there's so many things I would encourage people to take away from this podcast. But if like, you really need people out there to tell you what you need to hear, but will encourage you and just help give you that alignment in your life as well. And just be there for you. Just be a good human being. And you know, we were talking about setting examples for yourself and setting examples for your family and being a good leader to all those peoples. And some, you know, we need to be a good follower as well. And maybe that person knows, you know, some things that we need to hear as well. So gosh, Amber, I've really enjoyed our time today so much. I really appreciate it. You are just, for anybody that's listening and not watching, just full smiles, very, and obviously you can hear enthusiastic and energetic and just a very positive, genuine person. And I really appreciate it. I'm glad you took the leap to get out of the military after 12 years. You didn't just, you know, fight on and listen to other people, and you went out there and you made a life worth living for yourself, for your family. And just like to see you now, like you can tell, like people's complexions literally look different when they feel, you know, genuinely aligned. And you know, I'm there, but it's not like, I will add, like I have really tough days. Like today I just kind of fell off, you know, I just kind of felt like crap, but I created a podcast. I had this podcast coming up today with Amber, and now my day has like turned around because like I get to talk about this stuff, you know? So just intentionally interject yourself into situations that are going to make you better. And that's what this podcast is for me. That's one of the many reasons. So like I said, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. I love watching you. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I love how surreal you are and what, how you, honest you are to everybody.
Try to be.
Show that. It's good though, because people can relate to you. So it means a lot.
Thank
to
you.
Show those veterans watching. I mean,
thank you.
It is, I do miss the military. I'll admit that.
Same. But, same. I absolutely do.
Where I'm at now.
Yeah, thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you. I really do appreciate that. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you, Instagram or emails or anything like that?
If you guys want to even check out Instagram, I'm Amber_combat_survivalist. It shows a cover of the American Survival Guide, me holding this big old knife in front of me, and surviving in Costa Rica. It was incredibly hot. But also, if you want to check out Knives Illustrated, I do posting for them as well. If you're into knives, I mean, tons of different knife makers from the History Channel, Forge and Fire. I'm good friends with them. We're just now giving back to the knife community. We created the website, knivesillustrated.com. It's pretty cool. You'll see me on there hanging out and going in the wild.
It's a good looking website.
Join my team. Come join me. I need good people.
Oh, do you?
You guys have to talk.
This is really good. I hope something comes out of this and somebody works their way to you, because that would be really, really cool. But yeah, definitely check out the show notes. You will be able to see everything that Amber just listed. All right. Well, Amber, like I said, thank you so much and have a great rest of your night.